Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm excited to have you join me for today's show. All right, so Teddy Roosevelt had been quoted saying, "The only one who never makes mistakes is the one who never does anything." Have you heard this quote before? I want you to think about it for a second. How many times have you made a mistake or taken a wrong turn only to actually end up in the right place? Mistakes are a necessary part of living, growing, experiencing, and of course, creating. Yet most of us freak out when given an opportunity to change something in our life. It takes thought, it takes effort and work to develop something new or just to improve ourselves in some way. Startling statistics show that over 70% of Americans are unhappy with their current employment. So why is that, and why don't these 70% do something to change their job or their current position? I think most are afraid or just aren't sure what to do. The unknown is absolutely scary. Well, today my guest is Tom Moulier, and Tom's going to share his story about leaving a corporate job, the safety of a corporate job, to start his own true adventure. Tom is a father, husband, entrepreneur, and the visionary behind iTrekkers. Tom found the company in 2014 after realizing that bringing together vetted professional captains and guides on one platform would help guarantee everyone's better experience in the outdoor. iTrekker is a combination of Tom's desire to share his love of nature and to simplify the process of booking guided outdoor activities. His mission is actually threefold. He wants to get people to experience the outdoors, again, through iTrekkers, to help people get outdoors, period, by providing this useful tips and referrals, and to educate people about the outdoors and ways to become more mindful. Brilliant, right? So please help me welcome Tom to the show today. So Tom, thanks so much for taking the time and coming on.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me, Connie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And I, before we started taping, I said that this is such an important topic, right? Your story about going from this corporate life to this adventurous life. So my first question is, what actually prompted you to leave the corporate America environment? And for you, was there a defining moment that helped you make that choice?
Well, the choice was kind of made for me. And let me explain that real quick. So I was working at Capital One in Richmond, Virginia. And they asked me to come down to Tampa to run their high value call center down here. Cause I needed the ops experience. My background was analytics. They bought HSBC. They were $80 million over budget. And, they came to me and said, "Tom, listen, we want to keep you. We want you to go back to Richmond. And or else we can give you a package because you're basically the last in, first out." And I had just moved a year prior, almost to the day, with my wife and my two children, who at the time were 5 and 2. And, I was like, "Guys, I'm back. Like, you just moved me here and uprooted everything. And I'm just not going back." And that's kind of what happened. You know, they said, "Okay, well, Tom, you know, this is the option." And I took it. They were very generous on a severance package. And in addition, they gave me kind of a fluff job for an extra 6 months so I could get paid even more. And I did like 2 hours worth of work a week, and they knew it. And I kept telling them, "Guys, like, I've got nothing to do." And they're like, "Well, you know, try to find something you want to do."
Wow.
And that kind of prompted me to go, "Well, you know what? I've always wanted to do this. I've wanted to help get people outdoors and share that love of nature." Because our society's become so sedentary and removed from the outdoors that it's actually affecting, people in a negative light. Now, and that's kind of how this came about, you know. So I started working on my business plan and trying to figure out something that could achieve my goals of sharing outdoor adventure and love, and the greater connection, with more and more individuals. And this is where we are today.
That's amazing. And, you know, we have a lot of people who don't like their jobs, perhaps are thinking about starting a business, and So I've had other guests on that said, you know, they started the business part-time, right? So that they still had an income, they still met their financial obligations. But on the same token, they started to develop and build momentum for a business, you know, to the point where they could switch over. My background is similar to yours. In a bank, came in that bought the bank I was working for. And I won't mention the name of the bank that I didn't like. And I remember coming home. We had a baby, a one-year-old and a four-year-old. And I said to my husband, I can't work for this bank. They're anti-customer service, the opposite of me. And I said, I want to get fired. And he was like, okay, you know, let's do this. But I had been with the bank so long and I was a senior vice president and all of those things. So I got a nice package and I was able to open my own business. And we were talking about this before we started the show. Risk is a good thing as long as it's a calculated risk. So your story, I hope people are listening, that you didn't just pull the trigger and say, I'm going to start a business on a whim, that you did have a safety net and then went back and started a business plan and really thought it out. So, brilliant. You know, that's how people become successful, not by taking uncalculated risks. So, you know, the next question is, you said that you had this idea and you started writing this business plan. How did you go from this brilliant idea, again, of getting people outside and all of those things, but then how did you create the process and actually go through with the implementation?
Well, you know, as part of the business plan, I created the launch plan. So the step-by-step process that would need to be covered in order to get to where we wanted to go. And that launch plan involves finding a technology partner, learning as much as I could about internet marketing, you know, just a variety of different steps along the way. But, you know, I don't know if this is the case with you. With iTrekkers, you know, I failed my way to where we are today. It was just one failure after another failure after another failure. I picked the wrong partner. We launched in December of 2014. It was absolutely terrible. Had to scrap everything, restart, relaunched in April of 15. And it's basically we're failing our way to success. And that's part of the process of being an entrepreneur. It's understanding that failure is okay. It's just you need to fail fast, learn, and move forward. And we've been doing a lot of that throughout the years.
How did you stay motivated after, like you said, multiple failures, not just a single failure? So after failure, how do you keep the vision alive and think, no, I know I'm on the right path? What was it for you that kept you motivated?
The fact that if I don't create a way to get as many people as possible outdoors, to get them to experience the outdoors for the first time, maybe, then nobody is going to care when our local governments do things that are detrimental to the outdoors, and it will all disappear. Now, by no means am I a tree hugger, but, you know, I love the outdoors. That is my happy place. Getting outside for me is critical to my personal well-being, both mentally and physically. Mm. Be it going on a hike or going fishing or grabbing a paddleboard. It's just the time and place that I have to reconnect with myself and with my you know, kind of Mother Nature around me. And there are a lot of people who've never experienced that. And, you know, my grandfather had access to 100% more raw outdoor nature than my father did. And my father had access to 100% more raw outdoor nature than I do. I have three children now. You know, Olivia's 8, Emily's 5, and Theo's 20 months. If this trend continues, what's going to be left? And that for me is a very, very scary proposition. And you take that, and you add it to the fact of what technology is doing to our society today. And I'm not saying technology is bad. I am saying that, you know, kids playing 5 hours of video games, all summer long every day is not as beneficial to that child, to their brain, to their development than spending 5 hours outside or a weekend outside. So the balance has shifted. And it needs us to help reshift it. but we as a society are more and more fearful about the outdoors because it's something that we do not know as well as we used to. And my goal is to bridge that gap, solve that fear, get families outside, let them connect to one another, let them connect to their environment in the outdoors, create that love of the outdoors in them, that spark, as we call it, that magic moment. And that then will make them a little bit more conscious about what's happening around them and maybe change, you know, their attitude at the voting booth when their local government spills 15 million gallons of sewage into their bay, for example, which is what just happened here. And nobody cares.
Ugh, it's tragic. You know, I remember, and I don't know how old, you have little ones. I have big chooches now, my two big guys. But when we were young, I mean, I lived in Newark, New Jersey, so it was a city. And I remember summer vacation. We were up in the morning and we were out. Who's in yard? We had a driveway. That's what we played on, right? And whose backyard or whose yard were you in that we played stickball, running bases? Who had a basketball net in their back, you know, in the backyard? We just from sun up to sundown outside. We didn't want to go home. And whoever house we were at, the mom would make, you know, sandwiches for us. And then because we all lived so close together, obviously because it was a city, around dinner time, all the mothers would yell out the window, literally, and we would run home and eat. And then as soon as we were done, could I be excused? And we'd run back out until 9 o'clock at night when it would get darker. The mosquitoes started eating us. And then it was time to go home and go to bed. My mom, and I lived in the city. My mom had no idea where we were. Tom, let me just rephrase that. We didn't do anything wrong. We truly were just outside playing and running and, you know, falling down and skimming our knees and all of those things that kids should be doing. And our kids, I know with my kids, again, they're much older than yours, but it was like, okay, what are we doing today? I don't know. Go outside and play. Why does it have to be such a structured thing that they have to do? So do you find that, again, your kids are much younger, but are you finding that with your kids as well, that it's scheduled stuff?
Yeah, they're used to scheduling. And so they're asking for that. And I literally tell them, go outside.
Yeah, go and play.
And, you know, get out of my house. No, you cannot watch a show. No, you cannot get on my phone or whatever. Just go outside. You got the front, you got the back. The front has grass, the back doesn't. Go do what you want. But that's rare, you know? I mean, I go around my neighborhood. I know there are lots of kids here because the one time a year we all get together, you know, for Halloween or whatever, there's a ton of children. But if you go around my neighborhood at any point in time of the day, you will not see children playing out front.
That's tragic.
Yeah, you know, the Boy Scouts call this generation of children the lost generation.
Ugh.
I mean, you know, just think back in time. 150 years ago, inside and outside were blended together. We had outhouses that hosted the bathroom. You were outside doing your laundry. You know, society has really only gone inside in the last 150 years. We have broken a millennia, if not, well, way more than that, of you know, mental wiring. And you know, I want to bring those outdoor skills back to people, yeah. You know.
So important. And it's nice to go camping or hiking with family members so that it's another experience that you know, beautiful pictures, but also, like you said, regrounding yourself, but having those fun times together, or it's adventure. That's really, it's just adventure, bringing adventure back into the household and to do with your family, friends, you know, you could do a group of people. Now, you know, all of the, two things. First question, you faced all these pitfalls. What, as a business owner, because I do want people to think outside the box, even if they have a corporate job and they, you know, they're leading people. What for you were some key lessons that you learned from a business perspective? And then the second part of that, everything you're saying, there's a very big philanthropic angle to what you do. And was that always your intention? So two very different questions, but I'm curious on both.
Great question. So, I'll go with the first one.
Okay.
The first key lesson is that I should have gotten a job in the tech space prior to doing my startup. I had My background was analysis and customer experience. That's what I did. I improved the customer experience for all customers at Capital One. Mm-hmm. I helped them think differently. They focused on the bad experiences. And I told them, guys, the bad experiences makes up 5% of everything. People will always be negative. Let's focus on what we're doing well and make that what we achieve across the board for everybody. And how can we make that even better? And so we just, you know, the entire customer experience kind of grew at that point. But in starting this business, I'd never coded in my life. I still don't code, but I have an understanding of it now. I have an understanding of what's possible, what timelines really represent and what they should mean. I didn't know how to pick a developer. I had no internet marketing experience. I got burned by so many people who had no experience or didn't know what they were doing. And I didn't know that. And now I know, because, you know, trust but verify is a key component of what I do. So when I say to all people or all entrepreneurs out there who are interested in starting a business, go learn on someone else's dime. Even if it's dropping yourself to an entry-level position, you know, figure out what minimal salary you need in order to survive and go get a job that's going to teach you skills that you're going to need for the business that you have as you work on your plan. You know, I don't really think I'm not the type of guy who thinks that he can do multiple things really well at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, so my brain, I've got two brains. I've got brain that's work brain for iTrekkers and brain that's, you know, family dad. And those are really the only two brains that I have. If I was doing a job and then trying to start a business on the side, that to me would be really, really difficult. And I don't think I would do a good job at either one of them. But if I wanted to start a business and I realized what skill sets I would need in order to be successful, then I would like quit my job and go get a job in the space that I was looking to grow into.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Because you might actually realize, oh man, A, someone's already doing this, or B, you know what? This isn't really a space that I think is actually going to be do as well as I thought. Be it, you know, an industry or a market, or even, you know, it allows you to test your ideas and kind of bounce them off people. So, I guess that's my first lesson. And my second lesson I would say is, surround yourself, with as many conversations as possible. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, take your business plan, be okay with presenting it or talking through it with as many people as possible. 100. Start with 3. And then, you know, let them destroy it. And that's hard for people to do because you're so one track focused. You think you've got the greatest business plan since sliced bread. But the reality is you have not thought of a million things and let other people destroy your business plan. So then you can create solutions and have answers for the questions that you don't. And the more people you talk to, the more you're going to get, and make sure to get a variety of different, you know, inputs from a variety of different people.
Yeah. What you're creating, whatever the business is, you're going to deal with multiple different personalities, different thinkings, different perspectives. So you want to hear them all.
That's right. And listen to yourself at the end, but let other people tell you why you will fail. And that will help you make a successful business.
And yeah, don't take it personally. Take it as a critique of feedback that is useful feedback that you can apply to make whatever you're creating better, faster, again, with less failure, like you spoke about. Let's take a quick break, Tom. And then when we come back, I really do want to talk about that philanthropic angle. And was that always your intent? Or did at some point you have this, you know, aha moment? So we'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about that.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email Connie at WhitmanAssociates.com.
We are back. We are speaking with Tom Mollier, and we're talking about his company, iTrekkers, and really what inspired him to start the business. And again, as a business owner, the pitfalls that we face and how he has remedied or learned from them, which is really important. So the philanthropic angle, was that for you always part of your vision when you started building your model?
Yes. That was the backbone of what we were trying to do. I'm going to announce something on your show. We just met with our board 2 days ago and pitched them a huge marketing pivot. Our philanthropic, the reason for our being, why we do what we do, got lost. We essentially became a third-party guide booking service. And that was a really hard realization for us to face. I mean, you know, we were doing 2x prior year, month over month. But we were using outsourced guides, and they didn't have the same, you know, heart-strung mission that we had. We have in-house guides who deliver amazing experiences to our customers, very educational focused, you know, very hand-holding. But we realized that we weren't actually accomplishing our mission, that we were only serving people who already have some type of experience, that the products we were selling, the outdoor adventures we were selling, did not really meet the customer where they were at, because we were going after a customer who really had very little outdoor experience, which is a huge market. It's about $100 billion market right now that is underserved. But we were actually serving the market that currently existed. And so we are making a massive pivot today to ensure ourselves that everything we do relates back to our mission, vision, and values. I even have one of my leadership team members, their role now, their secondary role is to, you know, constantly challenge every single individual in our company. Does this fit mission, vision, values? If it does not, we are not doing it. So we're actually going to an educational event-based model to get people to learn outdoor skills at a very low cost, low barrier. So like a free seminar, or like maybe a $5 s'mores night out in the woods, all of these things to teach them little outdoor skills to get them the confidence they need to get outdoors, because that's what they lost. Our generation has lost the confidence of getting outside. And so for us to really accomplish what we want to do, let's teach them that confidence, help them get outdoors with us, and then help them break away and no longer need us and take more and more people outdoors. And that's how we're going to reach 1 million people.
Whose idea was that, the shift? Because it's, you know, brilliant, okay? But again, how easy is it for a business, you start making money or whatever, and it takes on its own momentum or its own path? Who decided this, to pull back the reins and say, whoa, let's think about this?
I did, with my leadership team. You know, we were talking about why we're not penetrating the new to outdoor market as well as we wanted to. And we had to sit down and be real with ourselves and look at our business model and what we were doing, and realizing that we weren't actually delivering on our mission or our vision. And because we weren't doing that, we decided, do we want to be a third-party guide booking service with our guides who steal our customers? Or do we want to be that transformational company that has a potential to change, you know, the world and have a major impact on people's lives, which we do to all those who go out with us internally? And we decided we made the right call. We decided to go back to the roots of what we had always targeted to do. And we pitched the board and said, we don't want to do what we've been doing. That's not who we are. That's not what we're excited about. That's not what gets us out of bed. And they said, okay.
And they voted unanimously?
Unanimously.
That's awesome.
And they said, okay, you've got 8 weeks to prove out your new model. Go.
That's awesome.
And so we're stopping everything that doesn't fit within this model. And we're going forward.
you know, I heard you say a couple of things too within that. That's accountability. They gave you the 8 weeks, right? Great idea. Go for it. But here's the timeline, right? If it's not working, then we need to go back to the old model or modify in some other way. So the accountability. The other thing that I'm impressed with and I think is really important as a business owner, when you meet and you start discussing where the shift happened and why and who do we really want to be, right? You kind of peel back your onion to look at that closer. It's really, really hard to be honest, especially if it is making money and it's working and et cetera. So that honesty with your team and with yourselves, I think is really, really hard, but I think it's such a necessary component of what we do. And my partner and I, we just created a online communication model. And so I recently went to a networking event and one of the women I met who we hit it off well. And I said, you know, I ask everybody I meet, I really want your honest feedback, like rip it apart. I'm not thin skinned, right? I want to make this a really useful tool. And she wrote me, it was brilliant, like a 10 piece items about things to make this report better and to make the program better. And you know what, Tom? I wasn't even remotely like, oh my God. It was, oh, that was really nice of her to take the time and to be so thoughtful in her responses. At the end of whatever we're creating, it makes it better when you hear from people in different perspectives and when they do rip it apart. It was like what you said before, surround yourself and have those conversations and let them pick on it. That's really what we're saying, to put holes in it. Don't absorb their negative energy, because sometimes people are just negative. Oh, it's never going to work, right? They want to bring you down. But take why they don't think it's going to work and really look at it, examine it to say, is this what my vision is? Is that going to be a road bump that I need to address before I hit that road bump? It's really hard to be honest with yourself. So I'm really impressed. And I'm equally impressed with your board that they responded quickly, unanimously, but gave you the deadline for the accountability. So I think all of those moving parts together is why you've been successful, because it sounds like your team is pretty intelligent. So, and that was my next question. How many people are in your company now?
As it stands today, we have 13 full-time, four consultant contractor types, two of which are on my leadership team.
Nice.
We have five in-house guides in the Tampa Bay area and in Boca Grande. And then by an extension, we have a network of 125 partner guides that we have been giving trips to across the state of Florida. iTrekkers has been live in every single major city, and we will remain that way, but we're just not going to spend marketing dollars on that, because we're going to be just refocus ourselves on these events and getting people to go through the steps of the Outdoor University. We haven't figured out a name yet. You know, the concept's there. The team has to get the proposal to me by Tuesday. We owe a draft, not a draft, a plan, a launch plan to the board by Friday of next week. And our first event is a week after that.
Will you put it online, do you think, at some point? Is that part of your vision? So that and here's the thing. I think that's smart to say focus where you have complete control, right, literally in your backyard, so that you get all the kinks out. But will you at some point, what you find from an education standpoint is helping people, will you be able to offer that in some capacity online so that you can spread out nationally or beyond? Is that even in the works?
Yeah, so we're essentially a tech company who provides outdoor adventure.
Mm-hmm.
The plan is always to go nationally and internationally. We need to understand what the new model is going to look like and how that can scale.
Yep.
I'm feeling pretty confident with what we can do there. But yes, everything is going to be online. It already is. You know, we sell our adventures online, and now we're just basically creating more SKUs in between. You know, those who have no idea what they're doing and those who do. And so it's just the way for us to teach him 101, 102, 103, 201, 202. Yep. And then our content team will be creating assets online, videos and written to help people with specific skills as well. So even if you don't go on an event with us, you're going to have access to a lot of the material to teach you to be able to get outdoors.
Yeah, to be adventurous, right? That's kind of what you're trying to teach people to do, to not be afraid to go and try, get those little, you know, you're not, your first time out, you're not going to climb Mount Everest. You know, you're going to go to your local park and just hike through the woods, right? You're going to do these little mini success steps before you go for the big, you know, Jigundo opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and everybody thinks, this is no joke. My husband works with a gentleman, happens to be an attorney, which this just struck me funny because you don't picture an attorney doing this. But they went and they climbed, I'm going to say it was like Mount Everest. Now, they didn't go to the tippy top, but they did go extremely high levels. And he and his wife do it together. They do these adventures together. They train before they go because of the altitudes and everything. So my husband came home and goes, yeah, I was talking to Frank and he told me he climbed Mount Everest. And I said, what? Like, that's not a common conversation, you know, that you have with people. So again, I said to my husband, wow, is he in good shape? He goes, oh yeah. And he's in his 50s like me. And my husband's, oh no, he's in really good shape, but they train for this. So again, I think we have to understand that, you know, you got to walk before you run, learn, have fun outside, and learn how to develop the muscles and the capacity to be able to do these bigger adventures. So I think what you're creating is awesome. And I agree with you 100%. Thank goodness my two boys are both athletes. When they were little, Tom, we had to go out and buy a tent because they wanted to pitch a tent and live outside. They hated being in my house, which was okay with me. So we went and we bought a tent and we would let them sleep outside and we would watch it from the living room window so that, you know, cause you don't want them to be afraid. But on the same token, let them challenge their comfort zones. And it's amazing. You know, we have to teach our kids to challenge their own, inhibitions and fears, right? Of being outside in the dark as little boys. So, I love what you're doing and what you're creating. We literally are out of time, but I want you to, can you give one tip to anybody who is either thinking about leaving a corporate job or starting a business? What would be your one key tip for them?
Well, I kind of hate to repeat myself, but go learn on the job elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think is the biggest tip I can ever give anybody. Had I done that, I'd be 2 to 3 years further down the road than I am today.
Wow.
Including the time it took for me to start this up.
Wow.
You know, all I had to do was go get an entry-level position at some type of a marketing agency or something like that, and I would have learned so much that would have saved me so much money. You know, for all the failures, those cost money. There's no way around that. So,
and we're penny wise, dollar foolish, right? We have to start now so we can make money versus you let me educate. And I also like what you said is figure out what your minimum living expense is and try to get the job at least with that income, even if it's an entry level, so that you can learn everything you need to learn. So I think that was very, very smart as well, that you had said earlier in the show. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being on, for sharing your story, for sharing your failures, because that's, I think we learned so much more, and I hope people learned from your experience that your recommendations and advice really comes, it hits home because you lived through this. So thank you for that as well. Everybody, if you'd like more information about Tom or you'd like to reach out to him, you could go to their website and it's itrekkers.com. So it's the letter I and then TREKKERS.com. And I will post that on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change show so you guys can click and go because I know a lot of people commute with us. So, Tom, they can reach you at that website and ask you any questions through that.
Absolutely. Or email me direct if you'd like. Tom Mullier, M-U-L-L-I-E-Z at itrekkers.com.
And I, you know what, Tom? I'll put your email address on the platform as well, so they don't have to figure out how to spell your name and all that good stuff. So thank you.
Sounds great.
Yeah, your name isn't the way it sounds and the way it's written. Right, I had to write it down phonetically because I wanted to say it properly. So I promise I'll put that on the website as well. And you guys, if you need my help or you want to share a story or a success story or come on the show, please reach me directly at Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com. Again, I answer all my emails personally. So it's Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com, and I look forward to hearing from you. Tom, thank you again for being an amazing guest, and I wish you so much luck with this little shift in how you're going. And I think what you're doing and creating is amazing. And you know what? We change one person at a time, and I hope it really does change our world and ultimately change our earth. So thank you for that and for all you do. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you again. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and realize that it's possible and so much easier than we often think. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you so much, everyone. Have an inspired week. And just take a walk outside. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.